Hi, I'm Tasha Pierce, your favorite podcaster's favorite pod aunt. I host Sinister Silhouettes, a true crime and conspiracy podcast. Every Tuesday, I'm inviting you to pull up a chair, pour your favorite drink, and chat with me about all the crazy crap that goes on in this world. That's Sinister Silhouettes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you get your pod fix.
This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Welcome to Reverie True Crime. As always, I'm your host, Paige. Today's episode is about the life and death of Sandra Bland. The big question is, was this negligence of the police that were supposed to be watching her since she was on suicide watch, or was this a case of foul play? Let's get started. Sandra Annette Bland was born on the 7th of February, 1987, in Naperville, Illinois. She has four big sisters, and they were all raised by their mom, Geneva Reed, who had her first baby when she was 15 years old. Geneva and her children lived in a bad area. It was dangerous, they lived in poverty, and it just wasn't a good place to live. So Geneva decided to move her family to DuPage County, which is west of Chicago, when Sandra was 9 years old. Back in the 90s when they moved there, DuPage was only 4% black. It was a very quiet place and comfortable. When Sandra was around 10 years old, she was always in church. The family attended the DuPage African Methodist Episcopal Church. By the time Sandra was 13 years old, she was in the choir singing her little soul out. She was said to have such a great sense of humor. Her male friend from church named Robert would tell silly, gross, teenage boy type of jokes all the time, which she thought was hilarious. She attended Willowbrook High School in Villa Park, Illinois, where she graduated in 2005. A teacher at the predominantly white school said Sandy was super spunky, she was not going to let a single person run over her, and she was going to tell you how it was. Coming from a white teacher, she said most of the white teachers weren't used to the way Sandy was so outspoken and feisty in this mainly white school. Sandra became a member of so many extracurricular activities. She was in the Foreign Language Honor Society, she was the only black cheerleader on the cheerleading squad, and she joined the school band. She played the trombone. When she graduated, she received a marching band scholarship to Prairie View A&M University in Texas. The band was called Marching Storm, and the marching band was known for their amazing drumline. While she was in Texas attending Prairie View, she was a Sigma Gamma Rho sorority sister, which is a historically black sorority. All of her friends said she was such a strong woman. She confided in a few of them that she had epilepsy, but they said she never complained or cried about it. For 3 years, she was a counselor in the summertime. Along with being in the marching band, she also spent her free time being a part of a senior citizens advocacy group. She got into counseling by assisting LaVon Mosley. He worked at Prairie View with students from underprivileged families who had problems adapting to college. LaVon was taken aback by Sandra's skill for counseling. LaVon turned into one of her greatest friends, supporters, and her mentor. In 2009, she got her degree in what some call agriculture. Prairie A&M calls it animal science. After she graduated with her degree, she went back to live in Illinois because there wasn't much to offer in terms of jobs at that time with that degree that she had. Sourcing from TheNation.com, quote, "Unemployment that year was dire for everyone. The recession badly hurt young college graduates, but black grads had it worse, especially black women who are more than twice as likely to be unemployed as white women. Overall, in 2010, 1 in 5 African Americans who just finished college couldn't get a job. Many who were lucky enough to be hired ended up in low-paid positions unrelated to their majors. End quote. Sandra did stay in Texas with her boyfriend for a while and steadily looked for work. She was an office assistant for a while for the university's extension program. She went back and forth from there to Houston, where she was living with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend had also graduated from the same college, and he was a music education major, but he also had a really hard time finding a job with his degree. So they were both in the same boat with that. During this time in 2009 and 2010, Sandra would get a lot of driving-related tickets, and she also got into a car accident. For the car accident, she was to pay $260, but she told the court she was unemployed and she couldn't pay it. Well, therefore, they issued a warrant for her arrest. Also, I feel like it's important to note that many sources say in Texas there's no income tax. The state, counties, and cities have to get money from somewhere, and this is where traffic tickets are very important in fulfilling that need. Texas charges extra on their tickets, and the amounts are pretty steep. For records management, you have a $25 fee, a judicial fund fee of $15, and $15 is tacked on to every single payment of bail bond. Prairie View A&M's Juvenile Justice School, that was even paid for money from traffic tickets. Also, traffic tickets consist of add-ons to pay for statewide program providing services for people with brain and spinal cord damages. Oh, and let's not leave out the devil's lettuce, better known as marijuana. In 2009, Sandra had a little Mary Jane on her, and she was taken to jail for a misdemeanor possession. Stats say that in 2009 in America, 1 in every 5 people in her age bracket were smoking pot. However, people of color were more likely to be charged for it and have it on their criminal records. In Harris County, 3 times as many blacks than whites were being arrested and handed some of the toughest sentences in the U.S. Sandra was facing spending time in prison and a $4,000 fine. Thankfully, she knew a lawyer that graduated from Prairie A&M, and she hired him to represent her. He was able to get the charge dropped to just having in her possession paraphernalia, which she wouldn't have to go to jail for. She did have to pay $500, though. Sandra could not catch a break. Due to her epilepsy, she didn't drink much because it can hit people with epilepsy harder than others. I definitely know that from many experiences. But she was driving home and was pulled over for her headlight being bad and taillights being out. He suspected that she may be intoxicated. She explained to the officer that she didn't have much to drink. She was honest with him about her condition and that maybe it did have an impact on the way she was driving. She blew into the breathalyzer and it was barely above the legal limit. Off to jail she went. Her car was seized and a cop found 1.4 grams of Mary Jane in her car, which is not a lot at all. But in Texas, that amount would get her a charge for possession. Long story short, the same lawyer she had before got the DUI dropped. The marijuana charge, Sandra basically just told her lawyer to leave it alone and not even bother with it. She appeared to be under a lot of stress about everything. It was getting to her. She told him she smoked daily. It's suspected she may have been trying to help herself with self-medication. Sandra couldn't afford to pay the lawyer anymore, so she had to deal with it. She pleaded guilty and spent a month in jail. After she got out of jail is when she went back to Illinois and she broke up with her boyfriend. But before leaving, she was worried about the warrant for her arrest coming back and biting her in the behind when it was time to get her Illinois driver's license renewed. So there's something you can do in Texas to make $100 a day in credits to pay off your tickets. You can sit in the Harris County Jail for however long it takes you to pay it off. And by the way, this jail was said to be disgusting, violating civil rights laws, dirty, and just not in any kind of condition for any human being to be in. It was majorly overloaded with inmates, and many fights happened. As soon as she got out, she saw her friend LaVon Mosley. He asked her how she was making it, and was she doing okay, having to be in that jail for a while. She said it was nothing to her to sit out her time, and she said she took it like a champ. When she got back to Illinois, she started working at a food service equipment provider named Cook's. She pretty much worked in all the fast food joints, going job to job. She wasn't happy. She was taking a bus back and forth to Texas. She was staying with her mom some, and she'd stay with her godmother at times. She'd stay with one of her sisters and babysit her children. She was just all over the place, searching for stability with work and somewhere to call her own home. She just didn't feel like she was being fulfilled in any way in Illinois. She was also getting more traffic tickets in Illinois. They operate a lot like the Texas system, but at one point, one of the traffic stops landed her in jail because she was driving with a suspended registration and driver's license. Her mom didn't bail her out, but her godmother, Dee, and her husband Lionel did. Sandra and her mom had some issues with each other. It's not clear what the issues were, but they were going through some things, and her godparents ended up being the people Sandra would get her money from if she ever needed any. And Dee turned over the title to her older Cadillac to Sandra, and she also started a joint bank account with her. She really went above and beyond to be there for her goddaughter. In January of 2015, Sandra would start making videos called Sandy Speaks, and she would speak on many topics that had to do with police brutality and the ill treatment of black people. She also spoke about negligent parents and her own emotional battles. She was known as a civil rights activist and was definitely a huge supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement. Sandra wasn't perfect because, let's face it, none of us are. She had a few traffic stops in Texas and Illinois. She had a few charges for driving without insurance, a few speeding tickets, and yes, she did get charged with a DUI and drug possession. She was even convicted of stealing and owed $7,579 in fines. None of this, absolutely none of this, warrants what happened to Sandra. We all have our own issues, and we all have fucked up. Sandra was as imperfect as all of us are. But she was also doing so much good in her life as well. She helped others so much and was all about educating and uplifting others. That tends to get overlooked in a lot of these cases. I wanted to include some clips of the videos that she made. So here they are.
Good evening, my kings and queens. I greet you, saying happy, happy Tuesday. Today, February 10th, 2015. I hope you did everything that you could today to go out there and establish your kingdom or your queendom. I do apologize for not getting Sandy Speaks out there to you this morning, like I usually do, so you can start your day with a good word. But you can always end your night with one. So today in American history, not black history, but American history, back in 1995, inspired by the Million Man March, there was the creation of the National African American Parent Involvement Day. Now, this group was basically focused on getting parents more involved with their kids, not just on the entertainment and sports level, trying to make them out to be the next LeBron or Kobe, but be involved in their education. So a few of their goals included promoting the African-American parents' involvement in their child's education, and also the promoting or providing of strategies for African-American parents and students to take full advantage of the educational process at all levels of the educational system. That means from pre-K to college. You guys have to understand, a high school diploma, shoot, a college degree almost ain't doing it anymore. We have to be educated out there. Not just African-American children and people, but everybody. We have to be educated. You know, we have the opportunity to go to school. And what's so unfortunate over here in America is that we get a job, or let me rephrase that. We go to school to get a job to pay back going to school. If y'all can spend billions of dollars funding a war, funding death, why not fund life? We should not be paying to go to school. I just feel that way. So I challenge all of you parents out there watching this video to really try to grasp some of the goals that this group was really trying to get out there. Our kids are so important. And if the only thing that you can talk with your child about is the latest video that they've seen on YouTube or Facebook, you are not doing your job. From one adult to another, not as, you know, and I've told y'all before, I don't have kids, but it breaks my heart to see so many people letting these precious seeds go to waste. So I challenge you parents tonight, get involved with your child. You know, we don't even get on. When was the last time you can honestly say as a parent that you attended a school event? Not just because your child was there, but just a school event to show, to represent, hey, my child has a parent. Show your face. Be a part of their school. Get on the parent board. You know, they need to see you. Your child needs to know that you're interested in what they want to do, not just what sport they want to play. Because let's reiterate that we have our kids out here thinking that being a football player is a career. It is not. Everybody is not going to make it into the NFL. Everybody is not going to the NBA. So if you have, especially our young boys, if you have a young son, preteen or teenage, who doesn't already have a career path set out for his life, you have failed. And I'm going to say it to you, you failed. It's going to hurt, but what's going to hurt more is when you look up in 5 years and your child ain't done nothing with themselves. We have to get involved. We have to get involved. And the fact that I want to help our kids more than some of you out there who have them, it really bothers me. You know, it's very disheartening to see, you know, a lot of the people that are viewing these videos, you probably got kids. So ask yourself, when was the last time you really got involved with your child? Ask them about their day. Ask them what are they interested in life. Ask them what do they know? What do they want to know? And if you don't know it, y'all can find it out together. It's not that hard. We make time to do everything else. We are becoming a generation of heads down because we always in our phones. Challenge yourself to when you're in the presence of your family, put your phone down. Talk to your kids. See what's going on with them. So, that's my fact as far as in history, what progressed today. Well, another cool one was back on February 10th in 2007, our President Barack Obama, then in his previous position, announced that he would be running for presidency. We congratulate him. I voted for him twice, and he's dealt with a lot. He has really dealt with a lot, but he's also had to clean up a lot. So what we as a culture need to do and realize is that Obama cannot be the fix-it-all. He is not the fix-it-all. You are the fix-it-all. Making sure you raise a responsible and respectable citizen is the fix it all. There's no reason why we have adolescents walking around being disrespectful to adults. It's ridiculous. It is out of control. So y'all really, let's adopt some of these, some of the goals of the NAAPID. I know it's long, but get involved. At the end of the day, the acronym that's most important is the PID, Parent Involvement Day. But don't make it a day, make it days. You should be involved in every aspect of your child's life. Because the minute that you don't, we have situations like what you see on TV. I love y'all. Sandy speaks. Good evening, my kings and queens. It is Sunday, February 15th, 2015. We have about 13 days left in the month of February. 13 days left in Black History Month. So what are you going to do out there to make your stamp? What are you going to do to change not just Black history, but American history? This week, we saw probably one of the worst things that we could have ever seen, which was the stripping of that trophy from Jackie Robinson West. Now, when the kids were playing that game, we supported them, we rallied behind them, and we put them on our, they put this city on our back and carried us to this game, carried us to that national championship, and really won and represented their city the best way that they could. And so we applaud you for that. So now, 2 months later, you guys want to take the trophy because of what? You know, the coach who brought the allegations up about whatever zoning, district maps, y'all, that is crap. That is absolute crap. You all did 2 separate investigations back when this first came up, and the Little League itself assured us that that team had done nothing wrong. So now why is it in February all of a sudden this new information has come up that is requiring, that required you all to take that trophy from them? That's crap. That's BS. That is total BS. But on the flip side of that, all you people out there sending that coach death threats, that is pure ignorance on itself too. You are doing too much. Stop it. What are you showing the kids, that you would kill over a Little League baseball game? No, then you are just as ignorant as them. All we can do now is just support them kids, support those young princes, and let them know, great job. Although they might have took that trophy, they could never take away those things you experienced, the things that some of us will never get the chance to do. So we applaud you for that. We need to step up now and let them know we are not going to stand by idly and let this go on. That Jackie Robinson West situation, it does not need to get just swept up under the rug, because we need to figure out what happened between December and February. What new evidence was brought up that required their title to be taken? What was it? Or is the better question, how much money was offered this time? These same little kids have to walk 5-10 blocks to school sometimes because there's not an adequate busing system to get them to school. You know, so if they just playing, they're playing a game. What is the big deal? And then also, how hypocritical are we being where the Cheatriots, New England, pro on a professional level, you got these men making millions of dollars. They cheated. We knew they cheated. And what did they get? The Lambeau Trophy, the MVP award, and big old dumb endorsements and bonus checks. So what are we showing kids if you could cheat on a professional level and get paid for it, but as a child, where nothing is under your control, will strip your title away? You young man, you princess, Sandy is letting you know you are still great. What you did was awesome. None of us can ever take that away from you. We are proud of you all. Every last one of y'all. And every young man out there that wants to be on the next Jackie Robinson West team, or just, y'all, we have to get out here and motivate our kids. They are our future, and they are what's important. So, it's time to go to work, y'all. We gotta stop playing. We have to take care of these kids. And it's not just, hear me clear. It's not just about stripping the title that bothers me. It is the way that that was done. And so if it bothered you just like it bothered me, we need to voice our opinion and say something. Sandy speaking, what about you? Have a good day. Good evening, my kings and queens. It is March 1st, 2015. I want to first of all say I apologize. I am sorry, my kings and queens. It's been 2 long weeks and I have been missing in action. But I gotta be honest with you guys. I am suffering from something that some of you all may be dealing with right now. It's a little bit of depression as well as PTSD. I've been real stressed out over these past couple of weeks, but that does not excuse me not keeping my promise to you all by letting you know that somebody cares about you, someone loves you, and that you can go out there and do great things. But I want you guys to know that I'm a human. And so if there are any of you that are dealing with these same things, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's okay. It is okay to talk about it. I think that those illnesses are something that the African-American culture likes to turn a blind eye to and act like that they don't affect us. And they do. They really do. So I'm coming out here now, Sandy Speaks, and letting you know that, yeah, I deal with it. And some of you watching this probably deal with it too. And you have to know that it is okay. It's okay because you have someone who loves you. His name is God. Just know, you know, y'all, it's so funny. I was sitting here today. I was having one of my little depressed moments and I started crying. And it was so powerful for me because in the middle of my tears in my head, I just heard the song God Blocked It by Kurt Carr. And it let me know that everything was going to be okay. God had blocked that depressing moment. He blocked that thought and that time that I felt like I needed to sit here and cry. He let me know, no, God blocked it. You have got work to do. So I do come to you guys today, first of all, just saying again, I apologize. I have been MIA. 2, depression and post-traumatic stress disorder are things that affect everyone, black, white, it does not matter. We all deal with them. And so a way that I would like to help you all today is that if it's something that you deal with, I'd like to pray for you. I would like you to listen to that song, God Blocked It, by Kurt Carr, so that you can know it is going to be okay. Whatever you're going through, whatever stress you're having, whatever situation that you're dealing with, God can block it and it will be okay. So Sandy is speaking to you now. I hope you went out there today and did something great. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to church. I drove to Indiana and went to see Maroon 5. Woo-hoo! I had so much fun with my sister. But I didn't make it to church this morning, but I did get to see some church. And the message today was about faith. And so for those of you, my faithful viewers, that have been looking out for Sandy Speaks, it is here and it is not going anywhere. I'm just a human. So I was going through some things, but I feel like I got to let you guys know that, because if you don't know, you'll just feel like, oh, she's flaking. And no, I'm being honest with you. That was what was going on. So my kings and queens, know that I'm still praying for you all. And I ask that you pray for me while I pray for you. Sandy Speaks. Good morning, my beautiful kings and queens. It is March 4th, 2015. It's about 7:42 in the morning. I am on my way to work, but I do just want to let you kings and queens know that there is somebody out there who loves you and that is praying for you. On my last video, I did speak on depression, and I want you guys to know it's a daily struggle. It's a daily test. You get up every day, and it depends on how you feel when you wake up that determines how your day is gonna go. But I'm here to tell somebody, don't let the depression get you down. Do not let it hold you and keep you locked in your spot where you are. Because that depression is nothing but the devil. It's nothing but the devil. It's a way of mind and it's a way of thinking. And you have to, I know it takes some people longer than others, but you have to Basically, anytime you feel yourself getting depressed, you just have to pray. You have to pray, God, block these feelings of depression. Take them away, because I've still got work to do. There is a job that you have placed over my life. So this morning, I come to you saying, go out there and be great kings and queens. Do whatever it is that God has placed on your heart for the day. If you are going to work, I hope you have a great day. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. If you're not working and you're looking for employment, I pray that God leads you to the right job, the right company, anything, because I've been through the whole not working ordeal, and I know that it is hard, and you know, nothing out here is free, not even to live. So my kings and queens, I'm praying for you all. I hope you all have a very, very blessed day, and I haven't forgot about these babies. Y'all don't get it twisted. Sandy Speaks is all about the babies. It is about them. We might not even know. We might have some kids out here dealing with depression. So it's time to talk about it. It's time to speak on it. It's time to say something. I hope you all have a good day. I love you, my kings and queens. Sandy Speaks.
Doing though?
Well, you got your soliciting. You got this up here. You got science.
How am I soliciting though? Am I asking anybody anything? I didn't. I'm not. But I did not ask them anything.
There's a question right there.
So just because that's posted, so if there was a question mark by the subway sign.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, call them, because I pay to eat in here. I pay to shop here.
You can't have this up here.
Okay, so call the police.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Go right ahead. All right, y'all see it. The police about to get called. Sandy Speaks, game is on. Game is on. I'm out here in Lombard, Illinois. I'm sitting here peacefully. I didn't spend money in this mall to eat. I'm not doing anything. And this man is upset just because some people stopped by. I ain't walked around to nobody and asked them nothing. So you want to call the police? Every single minute of this is about to be recorded. And I will be at Yorktown Mall every single day if I got to. Let's go. Let's do it. Y'all just saw it. Let's go. Sandy Speaks. Good morning, my beautiful kings and queens. It is Monday, March 30th, 2015. Hopefully you all are up and at 'em, moving around, doing whatever is necessary to start your queendom or your kingdom. Hopefully you're on your way to work, on your way to school, on your way to doing something positive. I want to speak out this morning in regards to the video that I posted this weekend, where some people were bothered by the fact that I'd called the mall cop racist. I just want to let you guys know, you don't have to. Racism can be felt. Some of you all might not have seen racism going on the video, but it was felt. It was felt by myself. It was felt by Leon, the fellow worker at the mall who ended up getting sent home because he simply asked a question about why I was being heckled for my cause. Some of you responded, they don't allow soliciting and things like that. I did not see a sign. And so at the moment, I did not feel that I was doing anything illegal. I didn't see a sign posted. Now, although some may respond, because you didn't see the sign doesn't make it illegal. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. Him asking me to leave wasn't racist. Okay. But him calling the boss on Leon, that was racially motivated. And you can't tell me otherwise. Some of you asked if Leon was white, would he have responded the same way? Or if I were white, would Leon have responded the same way? When I spoke with him yesterday, he let me know, yes, I would have. If I were white and I saw something like that going on, yes, I would have. If you were white and I saw that going on, yes, I would have still supported your cause. So to the people who, you were breaking the law, wrong is wrong, the law doesn't see any color, excuse my French, but bullshit. You can't tell me that the law doesn't see color when we have situations like the gentleman at Virginia getting his face stomped in the ground. Jackie Robinson West. Some of you all are saying, the parents cheated, it's on the parents, blah, blah, blah. Well, then if that is what it is, why were the kids punished? We love to say, the law is the law for everybody, but it is not. It is not. What are we showing these kids where if on a professional level, you can cheat? Proven cheaters, the New England Patriots. But kids who had nothing to do with those decisions made, they got in trouble. They got punished. They got labeled cheaters. So for you who can say, oh, the law doesn't see color, it doesn't see color because you ain't got no color in your skin. That it. My white friends, don't get upset, but I'm going to call out racism wherever I see it. And until the person involved can tell me otherwise that they were not acting in a racially motivated manner, that is how I'm going to feel. You can say what you want, but you were not there. You were not involved in the situation. You don't know. You just don't know. You don't know racism because you don't live it. You don't feel it. You just don't know it. But I'm about to turn. You're going to learn today. You're going to learn that what you may see as just somebody doing their job, we see the undertones of that. We've been trained to see them because we live them every day. So for those who don't agree with my video, they don't agree that the gentleman was racist, they don't agree with the things that I'm saying, I apologize, but I'm not going to stop. The word has to get out there. We have to do something about this. For those of you who support, I appreciate it all. And for those of you who don't, my apologies. But this is about educating you. That is my goal. We need to educate each other. That's the only way this is going to work. And I question my friends who were on the post and they had things to say. I wonder if I had been walking through Yorktown with the poster from last week, all white people are not against us, would that have gotten me kicked out of the mall? I don't know. But what I do know is racism is still alive today and it's still a very, very, very big problem. So the negative comments, I'd prefer that you don't put them on my page. If you only want to respond with negativity, please get off my page because I don't need that energy. The kids don't need that energy. Unless you truly have something positive to say, I'd prefer if you kept it. I don't need it. We don't need it. And when I say we, I mean black and white people. We don't need it. We've had enough negativity going on for too long. It's an overkill. I'm full. I'm done. I'm stuffed. I've had enough. Have you? Sandy Speaks.
You can go to YouTube and you can search for Sandy Speaks. I'll also put it in the show notes in case you want to go through all of her videos. They are really good. And I highly recommend that you all go watch them. So, back in March of 2015, Sandra had posted one of the videos that you heard where she did talk about her depression and PTSD. We'll come back to that a little later because her sister has some things to say about that. On the 3rd of August, 2015, she was supposed to start a job back at Prairie View being a community outreach associate. Unfortunately, that never happened. On the 9th of July, she was on her way back to Prairie View A&M. However, on July 10th, after she went and finished up some paperwork at the college, she was leaving and got stopped by a state trooper, a white male by the name of Brian Encinia. This was just supposed to be a traffic stop because she changed lanes without signaling, which people do every single day. He was speeding behind her, so fast, in fact, that she thought he was on his way to an emergency, and she changed lanes to let him pass. This is when he pulled Sandra over because she didn't use her signal. Now, Brian was known for his constant traffic stops. In less than a year, he had given out over 1,000 mainly minor tickets to people. He found enjoyment of doing random and usually unnecessary searches because he was just hoping that he would find something illegal in people's vehicles that would put them in jail. Brian walks up to Sandra's car and demands that she puts out her cigarette and proceeds to tell her to get out of the car. She said she wasn't going to get out of the car. She asked why she needed to get out, and Brian took out his stun gun immediately and tells her that he's going to, quote, light her up. He pulls her out of the car, and there's some fussing going on between the two, and out of view from the police car dash cam, you could hear a major struggle going on, and he took her to the ground. This was also videoed by a person standing by and watching all of this go down. You can see Sandra in the video on the ground. Brian was on top of her as well as a female cop. Sandra's saying that she cannot hear. She's saying that she's smashed her head into the ground. And Sandra even lets them know that she has epilepsy. When Sandra said she had epilepsy, Brian responds, "Good." As a person with epilepsy, that is terrifying to me, and I cannot imagine what she was going through at all, not only in that moment, but during all of this. Brian forces the person taking the video of this to vacate the vicinity. Here's the audio of what happened during that traffic stop, which was recorded by Sandra on her phone.
You okay?
I'm waiting on you. This is your job. I'm waiting on you. What do you want me to do?
Oh, you seem very irritated.
I am. I really am. But I feel like this crap is what I'm getting the ticket for. I was getting out of your way. You were speeding up, tailing me. So I move over, and you stop me. So, yeah, I am a little irritated, but that doesn't stop you from giving me a ticket. So.
Are you done?
You asked me what's wrong, and I told you.
Okay.
So now I'm done, yeah.
Okay. You mind putting out your cigarette, please? Don't mind.
I'm in my car, but I have to put out my cigarette.
Well, you can step on out now.
I don't have to step out of my car.
Step out of the car. Step out of the car.
No, you don't have the right.
Get out of the car now.
Why am I being apprehended? You trying to give me a ticket for your failure?
Get out of the car.
Why am I being apprehended? You just opened my car door. You just opened my car door, so you threatening to drag me out of my own car.
Get out of the car!
And then you gonna stun me?
I will light you up. Get out!
Wow.
Now!
Wow.
Get out of the car!
Really, for a failure to signal. You doing all of this for a failure to signal.
Get over there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, let's take this to court. Let's do it.
Go ahead.
For a failure to signal. Yep, for a failure to signal.
Get off the phone.
On my school.
Get off the phone.
I'm not on the phone. I have a right to record. This is my property. This is my property. Sir?
Put your phone down. Right now.
The cell phone video comes in much later as well, because back in 2015, nobody even knew this existed. They only knew about the dash cam footage. Sandra was arrested and taken to Waller County Jail. It's located in Hempstead, Texas. After her arrest, she was under suspicion of felony assault on a police officer, saying she kicked Brian. Sandra's bail was $5,000. There were speculations that she was already dead before the police got her to the police station, and that her mugshot was essentially her laying down, that it was to make people think that it was a real photo, when a lot of people thought she was actually already deceased in the picture. There are a lot of conspiracies and YouTube videos about this. People were threatening to kill police officers over it. Judge Trey Duhon of Waller County said publicly, quote, "Because of some of the things that's gone out on social media, this county has literally been attacked," end quote. There was video that finally surfaced that they were basically forced into releasing of her taking her mugshot and calling family members over the next few days to put the fire out on those rumors. During one of those phone calls, talking to her sister, Sandra told her, Brian put his knees into her back, and she said, I'm scared my arm is broken. She left a voice message to a family or friend that a TV station in Houston had gotten a hold of, and Sandra said on the voice message, quote, how did switching lanes with no signal turn into all of this? End quote. As I said before, her bail was $5,000, and her family was trying so hard to get the 10% that was needed to ensure her discharge from jail, which was $500. On the 13th of July, when breakfast was being given out to the inmates, Sandra told them that she didn't want it. She said she was fine. So, as we know, we can't always trust what the cops have to say, but I do want to state what I've read. Sandra had a phone, allegedly, that she could use in her cell with a PIN number. The police claim there were no calls made. On the same day, it was reported that 28-year-old Sandra Bland hung herself with a plastic bag in her jail cell. The police said that Sandra was discovered in a semi-standing position, dangling in her cell. They didn't publicly report this until the following day. This report was absolutely questioned by her relatives and friends. Everyone that knew her said she would never kill herself under any circumstances. This became a huge subject of the Black Lives Matter movement. It sparked the discussion of abuse and mistreatment of black people by the hands of cops. The Waller County Sheriff, R. Glenn Smith, said Sandra told him during booking that she had attempted suicide before due to a quote-unquote lost baby, and she was under suicide watch. But is that the truth? Obviously, Sandra's not here to dispute that comment, so we probably won't ever know. That is all up for speculation. All friends and relatives of Sandra said point blank she was not depressed or suicidal. She was only pissed off about being in jail and the way she was treated, rightfully so. Coming with all of this outrage by the public, friends, and family, came the doubts of believability when it came to the dashcam video. The Texas officials openly announced their denial of any editing of the footage, but they released many versions of the video. If there was, in fact, no editing, people are questioning why are there so many versions of this footage and not just one. There were some versions of the video where you could see that cars disappeared while driving down the road, and at the same time, Brian's voice never was interrupted at all. The Texas Department of Public Safety announced that the footage just had technical issues that happened when it was posted and released. But then, the Texas Department of Public Safety took that video down and posted another version. Black Lives Matter performed protests in Hempstead as well as members of the new Black Panther Party who were armed. They surrounded the jail. There were two investigations created by the FBI and Texas Rangers. The inmate in the cell next to Sandra talked to her back and forth a little bit. Alexandria Pyle, the inmate, said that Sandra seemed frustrated and sad because one of her friends hadn't answered her calls or come to bail her out. Alexandria also said she never heard anything going on in Sandra's cell that would imply foul play had occurred. A week after Sandra had passed away, the police department released footage of one of the jail's security cameras, which was a motion detection camera. It was pointing towards the hallway, and Sandra was in the last cell, cell 95, of the hallway. The footage shows the breakfast trying to be served to her, and people have also broken that footage down, thinking she was already dead at that point. There's no audio on these security videos, so there's nothing I can actually play for you, but I will link some YouTube videos in the show notes that show people breaking down what they think happened that morning. But according to what we are seeing on the tape, there's nobody going in and out of the cell from 7:34 a.m. to 9:07 a.m. A female officer is seen walking down the hallway. She looks into Sandra's cell and calls on people to come see whatever she is seeing. Allegedly, at this time, she went in and performed CPR on Sandra. Sandra's autopsy report said that she had died by asphyxiation. The Harris County Institute of Forensic Science performed the autopsy and ruled her death a suicide. I'm going to read to you the autopsy report. It does list the cause of death is by hanging. The manner of death is ruled a suicide. Date of death, July 13, 2015. Post-mortem examination on the body of Sandra Annette Bland. History. This 28-year-old black woman, positively identified by fingerprint comparison as Sandra Annette Bland, was pronounced dead at 9:06 a.m. on July 13, 2015 in the Waller County Jail at cell block 95, where she was found hanged in her solitary jail cell. Autopsy. The autopsy is performed at the Harris County Institute of Forensic Sciences by Assistant Medical Examiner Sarah N. Doyle, M.D., at the request and upon the written authorization of the Honorable Charles J. Karish, Justice of the Peace. It began approximately 10:15 a.m. on July 14, 2015. Texas Ranger Ellison and Investigator Perinello of the Waller County Sheriff's Office are in attendance. Clothing and personal effects. When first viewed, Sandra is clad in two orange shirts, a pair of orange pants, and underlying orange shorts. There are no personal effects. Received the body bag with Sandra is a paper bag labeled Trash Bag Used as Ligature. Removed on 7/13/15 at 12:14 p.m. Bland, Sandra Annette, black female, birth date 2/7/87. Custodial death, Waller County Jail, containing a transparent white plastic trash bag tied into a ligature, which is subsequently described under the evidence of injury paragraph. External appearance. The body is that of a normally developed 70-inch, 164.5-pound black woman whose appearance is consistent with the given age of 28 years. The curly black hair measures up to approximately 4.5 inches in length. The eyes have brown irises. It says that the eyes have no hemorrhage, petechiae, or jaundice. Each earlobe is pierced twice. Multiple tattoos are over the body as documented on photographs. A 1-inch scar is at the umbilicus. A 4-inch horizontal linear scar is on the lower abdomen. A 1/4-inch scar is on the lateral, left, antecubital fossa. A 3/8-inch oval raised scar is on the dorsal left wrist. The oral cavity has natural teeth and good repair. The oral mucosa is atraumatic and has no petechiae. The oral mucosa is atraumatic and has no petechiae. The neck is remarkable for a ligature furrow, as subsequently described under the evidence of injury paragraph. The torso and extremities are normally developed. The fingernails are short and intact. The hands have no injuries. Her genital area has no injuries. Pasty white discharge is at the vaginal entry. The anus is unremarkable and has no injuries. Post-mortem changes. There is marked rigor mortis of the upper and lower extremities, neck, and jaw. Lividity is blanching, pink and purple, and is visibly in the dependent areas as well as over the palms. The body is cold, subsequent to refrigeration. Therapeutic intervention. Defibrillation pads are over the torso. An electrocardiogram adhesive pad is on the upper right arm. Evidence of injury. 1. Hanging. When first viewed, a ligature furrow is around the neck. It is located at the level of the superior thyroid cartilage to the right of the midline and above the thyroid cartilage to the left of the midline. It cants upward posterior to the left ear across the left side of the neck. It is roughly horizontal at the right side of the neck, canting slightly upward. The furrow at the anterior right lateral and left lateral neck is dried brown and ranges from approximately 1/4 to 3/8 inch in width. The highest point of the furrow is at the central scalp superior neck region, where it is located slightly below the occipital prominence and consists of a faint purple furrow approximately 3/8 to 1/2 inch wide, which cants downward toward the right side of the neck. The furrow is absent at the posterior left neck for approximately 2 inches in horizontal dimension. Internal examination of the anterior and posterior neck strap muscles reveals no focal hemorrhages. Slight drying and compression involve the superficial superior neck strap musculature directly underlying the furrow. The hyoid bone, thyroid cartilage, and all are intact without fractures. The cervical vertebrae are intact without injury. No petechiae of the face, conjunctivae, oral mucosa, or airway are identified. A ligature received in the labeled paper bag previously described consists of a plastic transparent white trash bag, which is tied into a slip knot that forms a circle at one end and a knotted area at the opposite end with two cut ends extending from the knot. Sorry if I mispronounced any of those words. I am not a medical professional. So, with that being said, the authorities came out and said that Sandra used the white plastic garbage bag that was tied in numerous knots, resulting in a large loop at one end. Also, on the autopsy report, it says that she had multiple cuts and scrapes on the right side of her back, which could have been due to the struggle with Brian, and the mark on her back was probably from his knee. Small abrasions on her wrist, which could have been from the handcuffs, and around 25 to 30 parallel cuts on her left arm, which they concluded were there before she was apprehended. The Harris County Medical Examiner's Office released Sandra's toxicology report. It says that for someone who was locked up for 3 days, that she had a high amount of THC in her system. This led some to believe that she was somehow getting marijuana in jail. A Tarrant County Medical Examiner also said that for a THC level as high as what they found in her system, that she either was getting it in jail, or she smoked so much that her body had so much THC in it that it was just slowly distributing out over time. The toxicologist said, quote, "I have never seen a report in the literature or from any other source of residual THC that high 3 days after someone stops using the drug," end quote. Sandra was laid to rest on the 22nd of July in Lisle, Illinois, at the DuPage African Methodist Episcopal Church. The relatives and friends of Sandra immediately wanted an independent autopsy done because they stood firm in their belief that this was not a suicide. Sandra was so excited about the work that she was about to embark on at the university. This is when the video Sandra posted back in March came back up about her dealing with depression and PTSD. Sandra's sister said she was never diagnosed with depression, but she did have good and bad days. So the family's lawyer indicated that the way Sandra felt back in March gave an idea of what her mindset may have been while she was in jail, and that's why she committed suicide. However, a really close friend of Sandra's had been talking to her on the phone while she was in jail, and she was like, "This just doesn't make any sense at all." Sandy was a soldier, and she wasn't fazed about being in jail. She was basically going to get through it. The Houston Public Radio reports, quote, According to the mental health questionnaire filled out by the Waller County Sheriff's Office during her booking, a deputy marked yes to the question, "Have you ever attempted suicide?" Now, we can all question if this was actually something that she said and he marked it as yes, or if this happened and then he went back and marked yes. So that's in question as well. So going on to quote the Houston Public Radio, the deputy also wrote Lost Baby and 2015, other sources say 2014, in the boxes next to that answer. However, on a computerized summary of her intake form, no appears in the response to the question, attempted suicide. Requests to clarify the discrepancy were sent to the Waller County Sheriff and District Attorney's offices. There was no immediate response. Bland also indicated to the jailers that she had suffered a loss with the death of a godmother, and that she had been diagnosed with epilepsy and was taking an anti-seizure medication, end quote. Only 2 days after Sandra died, Twitter was on fire. Hashtag Sandra Bland was everywhere, used by thousands and thousands of people. There was a petition going around online that was urging for an investigation into her death. On the 17th of July, hundreds of protesters were surrounding the jail that Sandra died in with the chants, "No justice, no peace," as well as chanting, "We deserve answers." There were vigils held outside the jail also. 10 days later, there were at least 12 protests that had taken place around the United States for Sandra. They had many questions. Why was she stopped? Was this racial profiling? A reverend from Baltimore, Maryland, even traveled to Chicago when asked to by Sandra's family. His name is Jamal Bryant. He said Sandra's death was not suicide, but it was homicide. Royce West, the Texas state senator, said point blank that Sandra's death was very suspicious. He talked to the police department and afterwards he said, quote, "The kind of information disclosed on Bland's intake form should have prompted jail officials to place Bland on a suicide watch, meaning a face-to-face check on her welfare every 15 minutes instead of hourly checks normally required," end quote. The protest of strangers around America, her family, and friends protested on, demanding an investigation, and on the 13th of August, 25 members of the new Black Panther Party were armed as they gathered around the jail, protesting, telling the cops how angry they were with passion in their voices. Later on in August, the Prairie View City Council decided to give a different name to a part of the University Drive. It is now Sandra Bland Parkway. In December of 2015, a grand jury decided not to indict anyone in Sandra's death. However, in January 2016, the same grand jury did indict the state trooper Brian Encinia for perjury for claiming when he was arrested, he took Sandra out of her car to more safely conduct a traffic investigation, which was determined was a lie. In 2016, Sandra's family settled a wrongful death lawsuit for $1.9 million. In June of 2017, Brian's charges were dropped, but only because he agreed to give up his Texas law enforcement license. No one was ever held responsible criminally for Sandra's tragic death or her arrest, which various experts said may have been illegal. Sandra's sister, Shantae, said even to this day she is, quote, absolutely not sure about what happened in that jail cell, saying, quote, due to the lack of information, we will never know, and that's what makes it that much harder for us to grieve properly, end quote. A lot of this was filmed for a documentary called Say Her Name, The Life and Death of Sandra Bland. This documentary includes interviews with the sheriff, Glenn Smith, who supervised the jail, and the district attorney, Elton Mathis, who was in charge of deciding whether or not any laws were broken in Sandra's death. Sharon Cooper, Sandra's sister, stated, quote, "I don't believe it was their intention, but quite frankly, I think that they did a good job of showing their missteps along the way," end quote. Towards the ending of the documentary, the sheriff keeps to his story, saying that his office did nothing legally immoral, but acknowledges that as an issue of moral responsibility, the jail did in fact fail Sandra and her family. That is the closest thing the family ever received to an apology from the police. As we know, the tragic death of George Floyd by the hands of a white police officer happened this past May. This created a worldwide Black Lives Matter movement, and Sandra's name was also brought up in this. Her name as well as pictures were on t-shirts and signs. It's been 5 years since Sandra's passing, and the family is still waiting on someone to take some kind of accountability in Sandra's death. Sandra's sister, Shantae, stated, quote, "I'm angry. I'm angry that my sister passed 5 years ago and they are still killing us. I'm angry. When the incident happened with George Floyd, it broke me down because all I could think about was the knee in my sister's back from Officer Encinia. I'm over it. It continues to happen. And even though we are seeing it live on the World Wide Web, officers are not being held accountable. He got a bogus charge. They charged him with perjury. Did they not watch the video? They could have charged him with so many other charges, but they charged him with a perjury. And they want us to trust law enforcement." End quote. And she spoke about talking to her two sons about interacting with the police, saying, quote, "You have to be the best person that you can be, because you don't know who you are going to encounter on that day. But I pray for them, and I just pray for better days for America, because America is messed up right now," end quote. She also spoke on the fact that there is a bond with most Black families that have had relatives killed by police. Quote, "We all need each other. We are all in this together. And even though we may have experienced some similar things, the pain is different for everyone. In order for families and the world to begin to even trust law enforcement, there has to be accountability. When these kinds of things continue to occur, it's very, very hard for families to heal, for the world to heal. Enough is enough. Like, how many more? How many more bodies do we have to see? How many more videos do we have to see before law enforcement does something? It's all in the hands of law enforcement," end quote. As far as her sister receiving justice, Shantae says, quote, "I do believe that one day, I don't know in what capacity, but I do believe that my sister will get some kind of justice," end quote. To this day, there are people who argue Sandra should have been more quiet, respectful, and basically saying she could have kept her mouth shut. People are still victim-blaming and taking up for Brian. To some people, Brian was the victim, and Sandra was the instigator and offender in this situation. They won't hold this former Texas police officer accountable for anything he did, and think that he was in the right. However, to the people that think and say those things, Houston's police chief denounced the actions of Brian, saying, quote, "His conduct and actions went over the line. People can smoke in their car. People can talk back to police," end quote. A Black woman at the Chicago Tribune wrote an article and said, quote, "All Black women are Sandra Bland. I am Sandra Bland," end quote. The family still believes that there's more to Sandra's death that none of us know about. As of 2019, the Bland's lawyer said the cell phone video that Sandra recorded of the incident has never been released to them so they can use it in a federal lawsuit, but state officials are saying it was released to them. Jim Harrington, director of the Texas Civil Rights Project, said, quote, "What bothers me a lot is that state troopers are supposed to be the best trained police officers we have in the state. This guy is clearly out of control. Clearly shouldn't be out on the streets dealing with people, given this level of escalation that he provokes." End quote. The Bland family wants Sandy's case opened back up. There are petitions online with way over 1 million signatures on it, and they're not the only ones wanting answers. People all over the world are still waiting, because the majority of people from all corners of the world still think there's more to Sandra's story. The family, as well as many others, do believe wholeheartedly that this was a case of a cover-up, and evidence being kept from everyone. Even presidential candidates have called for the case to be reopened. That speaks volumes. After all of these years, Sandra Bland is a woman that everyone still thinks about and talks about. She will never be forgotten. If this was truly a suicide, she was on suicide watch. The officers were clearly not checking in on her as often as they were supposed to, which is still injustice and completely neglectful. And if this was something sinister, will we ever get those answers? A lot of people are pushing hard for justice for Sandra, and I hope that that day comes sooner than later. Thank you so much for listening to this episode about Sandra Bland, and if you haven't watched the documentary Say Her Name, I recommend that you do. Until next time, you know the drill. Stay safe and healthy. I love you.